Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following podcast program may contain stories, names and voices of deceased persons.
This is Outback Out Loud.
People and stories from Outback New South Wales.
It goes back a long way when I was a teenager.
Every Friday night, going to the pictures.
For the most part of my childhood as a local kid, the plaza was closed.
It just had an old-time elegance and vibe about it that just... you just knew you were in for something special each time, sort of thing. So,
to see me actually on that stage and for me to teach choir and show these children you can do this.
I just can't say how important it is for the town and how lucky we are to have it.
Outback Out Loud!
That's what I like.
Welcome to Outback Out Loud, Season 3, Villages.
In this season, we explore stories and life experiences from the most remote centres in New South Wales.
These three bonus episodes are all about the Plaza Theatre in Coonamble, from Plaza memories to what's happening now.
To support the restoration and reopening of this historic theatre, go to outbackarts.com.au. Let's check out some history of the Plaza Theatre with Dr. Mary Ann Jebb.
The Plaza Theatre in Castlereagh Street, Coonamble, was built in 1930 as a cinema and public hall after the disastrous fire in 1929 destroyed the Monarch Theatre. It was built to house 900 people, 400 upstairs, 500 downstairs. It served as Coonamble Cinema until 1982. It is an example of interwar Art Deco architecture, significant to the community. When the Plaza Theatre was built in 1930, public halls were an important venue for community information, celebration and gatherings of all kinds. The theatre has been the venue for hundreds of events, meetings, movies, dances, costume balls, musical concerts, wedding celebrations and auctions of local properties. In 1931, Mr. Wall, owner of the Plaza Theatre, wrote to Everyone's Movie magazine that he had used the new sound technology at the plaza and showed the first movie with sound, Harmony Heaven and Soldiers and Women, and the audiences were thrilled. Before that, movies were shown with subtitles and sometimes musical piano accompaniment. One of the large balls held in the plaza was the Jubilee Ball held in 1939, held to celebrate the blessing of the new church.
My name's John Wall. I was born in Coonamble. I've been here for 74 years. I'm just here to explain or enlighten the public a bit about the Picture Theatre and how it come to be there, still to this day, which is amazing really because 1930, it's nearly 100 years old. I've made a list of things that me and my sisters remember from the past. My grandfather built it in 1930. He was born in Spices Creek in 1887, and he moved to a little place out at near on the way to Cobar called Cambeligo, and he had a general store there. He then came to Coonamble and bought a theatre. It was an open air theatre. It was called the Majestic, and it burnt down in 1929 in the Great Fire. So he decided to build a new one. I don't know whether he borrowed the money or had the money. No, my grandfather, he probably had the money. And that was completed in 1930. My sister told me that my father said that he'd go down there every day and check out the building work. And if the bricks weren't right, he'd kick it down. Apparently, he's pretty fussy. And then he finished the plaza in 1930. He then went to Muswellbrook and built another picture theatre there. It was called the Plaza 2. Yeah, it's still there too to this day. Well, the picture theatre in Muswellbrook's not like this one. It's a different sort of building altogether. I don't think it was brick. This is all brick. Like, apparently it was the ceiling was pretty lively. Like, it was all hand painted, like birds, and it was a really spectacular show when it was first opened. I don't know how they painted it the second time. They just sort of painted over everything. It was probably too much effort. My father was always outside filling cracks, you know. Like a crack would appear in the in the brickwork, and he'd be out there filling it with concrete. When my grandfather finished the building, he went left and he put a manager in. His name was Eli Kuhner. He managed it for a while. It was a great business until a TV hit in the 1960s, I think it was. That sort of slowed it down, and then when videos came along, it was pretty difficult to make money out of it. Some of the things that they used to do there, used to have talent quests, fashion parades, Oprah Winfrey, ever heard of her? Piano player. He used to have a roller skating rink in there downstairs. He took all the seats out and put a roller skating rink in there to try and keep it going. That worked for a while, for probably 4 or 5 years. My sister said there was a guy there that, you know, he was a magician, and he used to catch a bullet in his mouth. I said, yeah, that wouldn't be on. She said, well, Dad was looking at the wall to see if there were any bullet holes in it. But I can remember when they used to have hypnotists there. We used to screen 5 nights a week. Thursday and Friday night were off. Used to have Saturday matinees. There used to be a serial, like on the matinees. And some of the most popular movies were South Pacific. It screened for 7 nights, I think. Actually, I remember the South Pacific. I was sitting in a chair. I was probably only about maybe 15. My father came along and said, sorry, son, but I just sold your seat. And I had to sit up on the wing, like they had big wings there. Like, yeah, I had to sit up on the ledge. Yeah. Gone with the Wind, I think it went for a week too. Sound of Music, yeah, that went for about a week too. I think they're very popular. People used to be lined up all the way down the street. Like the picture theatre was built to seat 900, 400 upstairs and 500 downstairs. So there were a lot of people there for a week, you know. Quite amazing that maybe everyone in Canamble saw those movies, I don't know. Barradine had its own cinema, but we had the widescreen. I don't know if in Barradine they had the small screen. CinemaScope was the big screen. And so they used to come from Walgett too, I think. And Glargambone and Quambone, Corinda. I remember how popular cowboys used to be, cowboy movies. There'd be people lined up everywhere to get in to see a cowboy movie. I used to sit in the front row on the top balcony when the westerns were on, and my sister said I'd be throwing punches and standing up and all that sort of stuff, you know. Yeah, it used to be, yeah, it was great. Well, yeah, I can vaguely remember the prices, like 2 and 6 was, I think that was the upstairs price. I can't remember downstairs, it was probably a shilling or something like that. There was no kiosk there. We had the Busy Bee next door and the Monterey Cafe across the road, and they used to have black and tans. It was like a creaming soda, but they used to call them black and tans, and they had a great big confectionery counter, and same with the Busy Bee. Dad just left that sort of confectionery stuff to them. He didn't get into it. I used to collect all the bottles after the pictures and put them in a thing and take them, cash them in. Used to get 5 pence, I think, for a bottle. Percy Wright, he's a local guy. He's still alive. He'd be over 90 now. He was the operator there for as long as I can remember. He was a projectionist. I remember when I was a young'un, there were movies like The Blob, and used to scare the living daylights out of me. And another one was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I used to run up into the box where Percy was and look out a little window, like too scared to sort of sit out there. Everybody used to run home after the movies, like after the scary movies. I remember that. Dad used to have travellers. They'd come around with all the movies that were on offer, and he would buy from them. And most of the movies operated on a percentage basis. South Pacific was a percentage basis, and I can remember Dad talking about it. They took 90% of the take, the film company. So Dad was left with 10%, which is, you know, pretty good for the film companies, I suppose. One day, my father asked me to help him change some light bulbs right up the top. And the screen had a board across the top of it, and you had, and there was a little hole into the ceiling, and it's still there these days. I had to get up on this, like, go up on this ladder, step on this plank on the top of the screen, and then step about a meter into this little hole, and then walk down inside the ceiling, and there was boardways everywhere, boardwalks everywhere, and lower the lights down so Dad could change the bulb and pull them back up. When I'd finished that, I walked up to the little porthole to get out, and I walked out, and there was just a step in, off into this piece of timber on top of the screen. I said to Dad, I said, I can't do that. I said, I can't, I'm stuck. I said, I can't do that. And I have a fear of heights to this day. And he said, I'll wait there. He said, I'll put the ladder up a bit higher. He put the ladder so I could grab the ladder. And I can remember that. Like, that was pretty scary. Looking back in the war years, like, it would have been a great asset to Canamble, because there wouldn't have been a lot of entertainment in those years without the picture theatre. And picture theatres in all small towns, you know. For the 4 or 5 years of that war, it would have been a great asset for the town, you know.
I came here as a child and saw movies here as well, so a lot of memories with in the past.
You and Robbo come here? Dating?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, I remember coming here as a child to the movies many years ago, but now this is just brilliant and a fantastic use for it.
I came here in, I don't know, God, probably the late 70s or something, whenever Storm Boy came out, and we came over here and watched it with the school.
It had Burt Reynolds. Smokey and the Banjo with my dad.
I've been here many times. I grew up in Canamble, so yeah, this was where we came to the pictures.
Doc Zhivago is the one that I really remember, I suppose. It started well before that. Oh, and Above Us the Waves is another one. That was perhaps the 50s.
The building holds a lot of fond memories. Born in 65, so every Friday night, going to the pictures, as we used to call it. You went to the pictures, didn't matter what was on, you just went. So we used to go, and all the cafes used to be open in the main street, and you interval and go across. There was the Monterey Cafe, which at the moment belongs to the Leonards. It's currently has been renovated, but it is empty, unfortunately. But that used to be the Monterey Cafe, so it was a really popular place for hamburgers and the old things called the Spiders, like was Coke and ice cream, and they just had the beautiful milkshakes, heaps of lollies, you know, Jaffas, which the kids would take back and throw down the aisles in the picture through the movie. And poor old Mr. Wall, who owned the picture theatre at the time, used to run around with his torch trying to find who was causing all the trouble and kick you out with your mates. I was kicked out once with my mate for talking too much, so Mr. Wall would come up and he'd tap you on the back of the head with a torch. And he'd say, okay, out you go, and take your mate with you. And then they also had a cafe, which is still currently operating just next door to the theatre, and it used to be called the Busy Bee. On a Friday night, cars just all the way down the main street, people sitting on their bonnets. A lot of the time, a few people had used to get a bit of food before the movie would start, but there would always be an interval. So in an interval, that's when everybody had come out, and then that's when you'd go to the cafes and buy whatever you wanted to do to take back in. So you didn't, like in my time, you never bought anything in the actual plaza. You used to go to the cafes to get your snacks. I love the old Dracula movies, and all my friends would sort of say, yeah, no, I didn't mind a creepy movie. And I can remember seeing Jaws there. Yeah, so Mum said she can remember, I think going, and they had must have been a documentary of when, like, man first walked on the moon, and they played it there at the cinema. It goes back to generations of people that go to the movies and their kids. So if we can get that back, because I think that's what we're losing as a society, I think.
Very entertaining.
But it's not only Canamble, it's like Barradine, yes, Gill, Glar, it's everywhere. The district, you know, we're pulling from a big area to entertainment, something different.
It's great. It's brilliant. Fantastic.
Then seeing it close for so many years was such a sad thing, wondering what was going to happen to these small country towns and these beautiful buildings.
It's really nice. It's just good to see there's a buzz in the plaza again. Brings our community together. There's never a lot of events on, so yeah, it's great.
I think we don't have many, again, beautiful buildings like this and much opportunity to do things like this we're doing tonight. So I think it's just like, it gives, I think, Canaveral people and country people something fun to do.
It's not more than a venue. It holds so much history and like really unique architecture that's special for any place. But yeah, as a performing arts venue, it's super special.
I just think it's great that there's somewhere big enough that, you know, a large group of people can gather and enjoy themselves.
I think it's just really special, yeah.
Good afternoon. Name's Terry Lees, 68 years old, been in Canaanbal a whole 68 years, and I'm here to talk about the old plaza. Goes back a long way when I was a teenager. Used to go to the pictures, which it had when I was younger. I could tell you a couple of times I went to sleep in there and got locked in there, and when I woke up it was that dark I couldn't see where I was. Trevor, which was the father of the boys, he'd say, just leave him there. He's all right. He'll find his way out when he wakes up. But yeah, the old plaza is a very unique building for Canaanbal. For us as kids in our day was, you know, we just, it was our to-go place. If we weren't there, there was a little cafe across the road called The Spot, and we'd get a hamburger and go to the shows, you know, go and watch that. As years rolled on, being a local, got involved with the owner of the plaza. We sort of like had a lot of fun. When the old days of the picture shows were starting to die out, we looked at trying something to more or less keep the atmosphere going. So what we did was we cleared all the downstairs seats out. And what we done then, we turned it into a roller rink. If I can remember, Emeco were a jean company at the time, back in the 70s, and Flares were in. Flares and Bright Shirts. And that was the thing. That was how it all was. Then it started coming to the disco scene, so we put a mirror ball up. Yeah, it was just like Greece, you could say, but not Greece. It was Canaanbal's Greece, you know, like, you know, roller skating. But then we wanted something else, so we started off putting in basketball hoops. Once or twice a week, we'd go down and we'd play basketball and we'd get a competition going, but we'd be doing it on roller skates. We did that for a long time, like for a few years, and then the video age came in and took away the atmosphere of a picture show. Later on, one of the sons from the owner opened it up as a video outlet. We got involved in that because I was a friend of them, and then they put in, I'm not 100% sure, but there was a hairdresser went in there and another little trinkety store, like a pop-up store type of thing. So, yeah, so then. Later on in life, the theatre company got involved with having shows every 2 years. And as a sound and lighting engineer, they sort of like got me involved to come in to do lighting production and stuff like that. So I've done about seven of those shows in there. In the meantime, a good friend, Chris Gray, he bought the place and wanted to rebuild it back to where it was. So being a little country town, everybody knows everyone's business and likes to help everyone. So we all got in and helped him, and he put an astronomical amount of money into it to get it up to scratch. We done a lot of stuff. We had movie nights with just an old projector, and not the original projector, we just set a projector up and had a few beers and watched movies. And that went on for a few years with Chris, and unfortunately he died at a young age. It has been sitting since, and since then we've had a couple of funerals in there because people wanted to have their funeral in the plaza. So we've done like two or three funerals in there. And then a play, and we're back to where we are now. Like, we're starting to have shows there. Outback Arts have bought it. I'm working in with Jamie Lee as well. Like, I'm going to go and have a look at some stuff next week when I get finish this play. The biggest point is that it needs to be, it's got to happen so that the town has something to talk about. And that's why the people that are involved in this theatre at the moment, this little company that they've, you know, just all locals, you know, it brings the town together for a little town of 2,700 people. You know, like 250 people are going to be in that plaza enjoying themselves and making other people happy.
Thanks for listening. To hear more amazing stories from Outback New South Wales, check out the whole Outback Out Loud series, now streaming everywhere.
We acknowledge and celebrate the first Australians on whose traditional lands we meet and work, and whose cultures are among the oldest continuing cultures in human history.
Please like, subscribe, rate us and write a review. The Outback Out Loud podcast was designed and produced by Signal Creative and is a collaboration between Signal Creative and Outback Arts. The Outback Out Loud community project and workshop series was designed and facilitated by Signal Creative. These episodes are the result of recordings and interviews collected by Signal Creative and community participants. You can find Signal Creative at signalcreative.net and Outback Arts at outbackarts.com.au, and you can find both of us on Facebook and Instagram. Audio production, sound and music design by Emma Hoy. Community liaison, research and editing by Caroline Wallace.